Hello and welcome to the Chase Down Podcast, part of the Blue Wire Network. My name's Carter Rodriguez. I'll be your host after tanking three straight episodes while I was either sick, hungover, or working. Justin Rowan has the night off. So in his stead, the old third wheel of the Chase Down, we welcome Ryan J. Morton to the pod. How you doing, Mort?
I'm good. My middle name starts with a P.
No, it doesn't.
Just so you're aware. But hey, shout out to Blue Apron.
The Blue Apron jokes never stop. Same with the content. So the Cavs are coming off yet another blowout loss, this time to the Philadelphia 76ers. They competed throughout the game. They lost by 23.
They were up by 10 at one point.
Yeah, well, I was kind of thinking recently about how the Cavs have to lead the league in games where I thought they played okay but lost by at least 20.
I don't know. I always think that, like, the Knicks are all right. And they, man, they
Me
get
too,
blown
dude.
Out a lot.
Me
or
too.
Or the Hawks. Twitter loves the Hawks.
Twitter does love the Hawks.
What else is new, right?
Yeah, but I don't think they're actually watching them very often.
Well, so you always see all these tweets on the timeline that are like, man, the Hawks are really – look at John Collins go. Man, the Hawks are really showing out. And then I look, and they lose by, like, 35.
Yeah.
They have the worst net rating in the league.
Yeah, they're somehow significantly worse than the Cavs.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's wild.
Yeah, it's because they have a crappy point guard. But –
I like Trae Young. He's going to get there, man.
Yeah, where is there? China? No, he's probably going to be fine. Whatever dork is listening to this and wants to quote me, leave me alone, man. It's like December. I'm tired.
It's December. Mort's tired.
I didn't mean to be that mean about it.
That was mean. I was actually thinking about this specific Cavs team. This specific Cavs team is, in a way, built to sort of vex you. Because it's actually kind of a try-hard team.
Everything about it is bad, first of all.
Yeah, I want you just to – hey, it's the holiday season. Let's air some grievances, Mort.
All right. Yeah, let's – Festivus time. So I wrote, and I know nobody believes that, but I did actually write a thing at one point about people the Cavs could trade Alec Burks for, or maybe George Hill, or maybe – that other guy, J.R. Smith. Man, he's been away from
there. Yes.
I almost forgot.
I'm mad that I also couldn't remember who you should be talking about.
He's out of sight, out of mind, man.
A little bit, man. Anyway, continue.
So the one team I purposefully left out was the Milwaukee Bucks. Actually, there's multiple teams. Some because they made no sense, like the Celtics, right?
Sure.
There's nobody to trade for on the Celtics.
Yeah.
But the Bucks were another one. And one reason was they don't have a pick this year. Obviously, the Cavs got one way out in the future. And another reason was the most obvious person to trade for was Matthew Dellavedova.
Your boy, Dally.
Nicest guy on the planet. I know I've said that before. Yeah, it's been awful. He's actually played miraculously better than he did in Milwaukee. Obviously
has to really chap your ass if you're a Bucks fan, if you're even paying attention.
Yeah, they're not paying attention.
They're not.
Giannis just came here and put like 45 on them. I think they're fine. So immediately, obviously everyone who knows me has been making fun of me.
Sure. And well-deserved.
Everyone who doesn't is sending me messages that, you know, remember how Anderson Varejao was like the Cavs mascot when they were a crappy
yeah.
team? Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of the same thing. It's like, hey, yeah, ha, isn't this great? Don't you feel some connection? No, man, I don't care. It's been pretty terrible. But my plight doesn't matter in the slightest. He's a nice guy. I'm glad he's getting paid. I'm glad other people are enjoying this aspect of the Cavaliers.
Well, there's not that much to enjoy, so you kind of have to go digging.
Oh, man. Yeah. But, yeah, so they don't have anyone that's, like, real fun, right? Like, I mean, Sexton is fun.
On occasion, but like it's either he's pretty fun or he's unwatchable.
Oh, I don't have those problems. I think he's fun regardless.
You probably just stop watching.
Even when he's not shooting, ah, man, come on, me. that's crazy talk. Even if he's not shooting well, like he's still a crazy person, and that's interesting.
And yeah, he manages to annoy every member of every opposing team every game.
He's just like, he's nuts, right?
A little bit.
And to me, that's great. He's eating a fruitcake from Mountain Dew. He clearly doesn't enjoy it. That's the content I live for. They have like 7 centers. Why?
But none of them are healthy or can play right now.
Yeah. Tristan Thompson.
Henson. Love can play a little center.
Well, John Henson, obviously. I mean, John Henson's never really going to play meaningful minutes.
You know what's annoying about Justin? Is he keeps acting like Henson.
How much time do you have?
Is Justin on multiple outlets, including this one, without me there to check him, has kind of acted like John Henson doesn't suck.
John Henson was good this year.
Was he? He hasn't played this year. What are you talking about?
No, he did. He was hitting 3. Listen, I remember the beginning of the season. Everyone was like, holy crap, John Henson. And I, like you, was like, come on, man, it's John Henson. And then when he got hurt, everyone was like, wow.
Can I tell you John Henson's scintillating bounce back year?
It's 5 points, 5 rebounds, and he shot 35% from 3.
Oh, yeah.
Am I right?
Sounds like our new weapon.
Listen, man, you're talking about a guy that.
Those are Nate Thurman numbers, so maybe we'll retire his number. Yeah. With the team.
I mean, all you need him to be is a piece somebody doesn't have, right? You look at.
Yeah, I mean, he might be useful at the deadline if he comes back healthy, but I think he's going to miss some time, a lot of time.
Summer. I wouldn't expect to see him play until March, if that. He's still in a cast.
Yeah, so, he's not
going to play. Yeah, you got to get out of the cast and you got to rehab that thing. It's not going to be by the trade deadline, which is fine because you have an $8 million expiring contract in the summer and you play him a little bit, show he can get on the court. And he's a guy that blocks shots, you know, and not a lot of teams have that. So,
yeah, including the Cavs. Yeah, it's just a weird Cavs roster, but like they are like trying to find things that work. But the thing that's a little problematic is that the stuff they're finding that kind of works does not involve any of their core players moving forward. It's like David Nwaba, Deli, Clarkson lineups.
Rodney Hood scores 29.
Rodney Hood.
Man, yeah, I really don't care for, like, not on a personal level. Like, I don't, obviously, they all seem like they're fine guys. We've had some pretty crappy individuals in the past. But just like on a watching the team, there's just a lot of guys I don't care to watch. You know, the most fun, other than Colin Sexton, the most fun guy to watch on the team is probably Alec Burks. And he's shooting like 32%.
Yeah, Burks has really cooled off. I don't know. I actually like watching Nwaba. I think teams probably made a mistake by letting him sign on a bad team for the minimum.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I could see even him being stupid. Say the Rockets, for example.
Man, like the Cavs have 7 players who could be in the Rockets rotation right now, and that is not a nice thing I'm saying about the Rockets.
Man, the Rockets are terrible. They've won some games though.
Did you think they were going to be this bad?
Yes. Well, maybe not this bad because they still had Chris Paul and James Harden, but I think there's a lot of evidence of me saying their summer moves were absolutely terrible.
I kind of went the other way. I was not like that they were going to be better. I thought they were going to be worse. I was like, guys, you're overreacting. And then like it was like 10 games in the season. I looked at their bench. I was like, none of these guys are even replacement level.
Right. Well, so the biggest problem isn't even that. So the Rockets were going to be good until Chris Paul hit the wall, right? And with short guys, it goes in an instant.
Yeah.
And, man, I'm going to tell you what, he does not look good. Even when the numbers have been okay, they've kind of – I forget what night game I was watching, but he just looks like a guy.
One of my least favorite fallacies that NBA fans, like, purport is, like when a guy has an old man game, they think, like, oh, well, he'll age well because he doesn't need athleticism. But, like, oftentimes, like, Paul's been getting away with it with, like, waning athleticism for a couple years now.
Right.
And, like, it was like, no, he actually couldn't afford to lose anymore.
Well, and that's – and especially with undersized guys, right?
Because yeah.
guys, you know, they really – connect with that because compared to NBA players, we're also massively undersized.
Yeah.
So you see a 6 foot guy just like you and he's playing well. I'm like, oh man, he could play forever. But yeah, the line between being an NBA player
and nothing
is so thin. And the line between being a superstar and just a guy is so thin. And when you're undersized, I mean, you saw Anderson Varejao, right? He lost the slightest bit of speed and he was terrible. As a center,
could not play anymore.
Chris Paul, he's 6 feet. You know, the what you need to do to be that small and be really effective is tough. You see Draymond Green when he's still good, but you know, when he was more bothered by the foot injuries, I don't think he was very good to start the year. He's been kind of up and down all season, so but not like Paul and Paul's still mostly okay, but like Varejao dropped off the map. I wasn't saying that about Green or Chris Paul.
Yeah, but it's just – it's instrumental or educational to the point of like when you are already operating at a disadvantage, you can't afford to lose much more.
Right.
And, yeah, they're terrible. The Cavs should try to rip them off if they can.
Hey, Brandon Knight is healthy again.
He
can be dealt.
I do not understand why anyone like would expect him to help at all. But I'll take him on the Cavs.
He's not Michael Carter-Williams. Can you imagine? All right, imagine this, right? We're talking about how the Cavs are vexing. You tune in to a game. Channing Frye, God love him, starting center, which is fine. He's just, you know, long in tooth. Don't care who starts a power forward. We'll say Alec Burks. It's not somebody anybody would have any investment. Actually, no. He would have to be gone for this to work. So, Alec Burks out.
I'm Jetty. Already bummed out.
Jetty is starting at power forward. God love him. He has been awful.
Yeah, it's been tough.
He's been bad. I think if he moves down like two or three measures
in
ball handling duties, he'll be fine. Kind of like when Mo Williams came and all of a sudden Delonte West was good. He just needs to snap into his proper place and he'll be okay. But right now he's handling the ball way too damn much. He looks awful. Small forward, Rodney Hood, still around because screw you, man. Colin Sexton has suffered some sort of really minor malady, but he is sitting tonight. So you're starting backcourt. It's Brandon Knight, Jordan Clarkson.
Ouch.
To go with Rodney Hood, Jetty Osmond, and Channing Frye.
You missed the opportunity to include Marques Chris in that.
The Rockets could send him back. All right, Frye is on the bench. He's too beloved, and he can shoot. Your starting center is either Chris or Ante.
Chris, I was saying in our Discord chat, which you can get into if you leave a review on iTunes and email us at chasedownpod@gmail.com. But someone asked... Someone asked about Chris because, you know, I think he went 8th overall a couple years ago.
Because
he's young and athletic. And they're like, oh, what's his deal? And I was like, he is the dumbest NBA player I've ever seen.
So I go to Vegas every year, and obviously you know that.
Yes, I do.
So I go to Summer League every year, and I have never seen – the two worst players I have ever seen are –
Can I guess? I was about to say Bender and Chris.
Yeah, Dragan Bender. And I mean, I say it every time their name comes up because like it's seriously like mind-blowing. Like usually you see guys stand out, right? Delly would be another instance of someone that he actually bucks that trend. He didn't even look like he could play at Summer League. He's way better in NBA games than he was handling the ball a ton in Summer League. Joe Harris didn't look like he could play at all at summer league. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson absolutely just mopped the floor with him, and now he's really good, and they're teammates. It's weird. But, yeah, I mean, Chris and Bender both look like they had never seen a basketball in their entire lives every time I see them play. And they're terrible, so they always play a lot at summer league.
Yeah, they buck no trends.
And people always wonder, like, oh, well, if we do this deal with the Suns, you know, because I – taking Ryan Anderson's contract would be a good idea. Oh, we could get Dragan Bender and give him a shot.
Nope.
There's nothing there. There's nothing to find. There is. Maybe in like 5 years, Bender will be ready because, you know, he's still really young. But so Zucci was just cut by the Rockets.
Yeah. There's another guy who's never going to get there. And you just can tell.
Immeasurably better.
Immeasurably better, though. Like Marcus Chris, the joke I have, and it's a really strained joke, but it's one that I still think is like, it takes too much effort to get to the punchline, but I think it's the most apt comparison for Chris. It's like if you took a robot and you taught it all the skills of a basketball player, like, hey, you can shoot, you can move, you can jump, you can cut, you can... you know, here's how to do all the stuff you're supposed to do on a basketball court, but then gave it no knowledge of how basketball works. Like the AI, you stop the AI right there.
Yeah.
That's Marcus Chris. Because
he's the old the Mac computers where you just type in whatever you wanted to say and it would repeat it, but sound all messed up. Hello, Ryan, you want basketball.
Like, it has no AI. You programmed it to do a few things, but, like, you forgot to actually, like, program it to actually do any of it. Like, he's the kind of guy who, like, his teammate will have carved out a driving lane for himself and, like, have a wide open path to the bucket, and he'll just cut right into where his teammate was going, you know? Or, just not move or get back cut or be aggressive in the wrong way. And someone in the chat was like, is he as dumb as like Drew Gooden? And I'm like, Drew Gooden was a Rhodes scholar on the basketball court.
Yeah. It's not even Drew. So Drew Gooden was a starter on a finals team.
Yeah. That's so different. Like, this is a level, this is a level of dumb. This isn't like, oh man, he makes some head scratching mistakes sometimes.
I mean, he's worse than JJ Hickson.
I think by like a measure of 10, he's worse than J.J. Hickson. Yeah. Like, J.J. Hickson was a rotation player. He's
worse than Smarto Samuels.
Yes. But he has tools. Smarto Samuels didn't have tools.
All right.
Smarto Samuels had a big ass. That's it.
So who's someone with tools? Because obviously, so...
Is he the forward version of young Gerald Green?
No.
Who is his teammate on the Rockets.
So if you had one game that you had to win and you could start Cavs Luke Kerengody or current Marquise Chris, man, I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
Who would you pick? Cavs Goody, current Chris.
Is this a one-on-one game or a five-on-five game?
This is 5-on-5.
Ooh, I got to go Goaty.
I really think I would too. I don't think anybody's made me as mad as him. But
he was terrible. You know what's funny about Chris is he is similar to Gerald Green from the perspective of amazing guys in 2K. That literally can't play at an NBA level.
I definitely kill it with him in 2K. And he always makes like $14 million. I'm like, why? He's not even going to be in the league in a year.
Yeah.
He has no idea.
Well, how could they, you know? Like, how do you give a guy like negative 30?
You know who Chris reminds me of that he's also still worse than? Stromile Swift.
Oh, that's a good deep cut. This is what this Cavs podcast has turned into, just shitting on Rockets players.
What do you talk about with the Cavs?
Yeah, well, the thing is, those guys really might be Cavs in a month. Like, well, and should be if the Cavs play this right.
The only thing they should be wanting from the Rockets is first round picks. There isn't a single.
Well, yeah, player. You need salary matching though. You know, like if you It does feel like a Hood-Burks combo is something that Houston could easily talk themselves into. Because, like, the thing is, they don't just need, like, they don't have, like, a missing piece problem. They have a warm bodies problem.
Right.
Like, they need warm bodies. And I will say this about Rodney Hood. Obviously, neither of us are big fans. Very frustrating player to watch. If there's a place he's going to figure it out, the it's okay to shoot threes and miss Rockets, there's no better place where they're just going to be like, every time you don't shoot a three, you're in trouble. So that's kind of what his game needs.
Can you imagine a more apathetic duo than Rodney Hood and James Harden?
Going to fall asleep on the court.
Hey, we're going to switch everything?
Actually, I got a more apathetic duo for you. Rodney Hood and was it Brandon Ingram he played at Duke with, or was it Jabari he played at Duke with?
It was Jabari. It was
well,
Hood,
there you go.
Hood and Jabari. Yeah, Rodney Hood's been around for like 5 or 6 years at this point. Ingram's
relatively new. You're right.
Ingram has been around for a while, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, give him 6 years before you trade him. He needs more time.
Yeah, that was because Hood was in the same draft as Wiggins because we were talking ourselves. You know, it was a Rodney Hood, Doug McDermott argument that became a, hey, we can trade for Kevin Love argument when they won the lottery.
That's a better argument.
Yeah.
That's more fun.
So long-term players on the Cavs, they have guys that should be around longer and will not worry about Tristan Thompson. He's under contract. We'll not worry about Kevin Love. He's under contract. So excluding those two guys that should be around long-term, Colin Sexton.
Yep.
Jetty Osman.
Yep. I guess.
he's young and under control.
Yeah.
So that's
you want to keep Jetty around.
Yeah. That's why I say that. You don't have to.
He's well liked. He's a good culture setter. He's a guy you just want to shift down. You don't want to get rid of.
Yeah. I mean, he's
like Hood. I just don't want him on my team.
Right.
Jetty, I want to give him less responsibility. Nance, where do you stand on Nance?
Man, well, he's under contract. He's probably not going anywhere.
But how do you feel about him? Because the strategy of even with Thompson out, they're not starting him and kind of seem to refuse to, which indicates to me that they don't think he can handle playing center against starters, but you just paid him decent money and he can't play any other position.
Well, and so that's the tricky thing. I feel like they paid him to be a mascot. And I know that sounds dumb.
And the depreciating value of his deal makes that easier to stomach.
So his deal is depreciating as the cap is greatly increasing. So I feel like they didn't really – I mean, I feel like that contract's easy to move.
It's not a misfire per se. It's just they're handling it weird.
Yeah. Well, so the other thing is I feel like he can fit around a lot of different kind of guys.
I would agree with that. I actually like Larry Nance's game, even though he very rarely posts big box score numbers.
Yeah. So I don't know that he works super well with Tristan, but I don't think they have long-term plans for Tristan. I feel like he played a lot better this year than they could have possibly expected.
Yeah, I think that threw them for a loop.
Right.
Remember when they were talking about like the platoon center plan where they were going to play Tristan against the big guys and Nance against the smaller guys, and then it was like – nope, Tristan's way better.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and Nance.
Nance going to make him dance.
Was really, really bad to start the year. He's bounced back considerably. He was really
bad. Yeah, well, I just like it. I like the way he the offense sort of functions around him. He's a really nice passer. He gets deflections. He doesn't ever really get rebounds, and he fouls too much. I don't know, man. I feel like every time I think Larry's had a good – like I'm like, oh, Larry had a really nice game today. It's like
– it's like
seven,
5 points. Five, five, and four. Five fouls.
And maybe that's just the kind of player he is. I'm like, that's fine. Or maybe I'm wrong. I don't know which is the correct answer.
I feel like that's just kind of who he is. Like he does things that are important. And you don't notice him for a lot of the other time. And honestly, you know, not noticing someone is fine.
Yeah, that's a very good point with role players.
Yeah, like he's just there. He doesn't mess up a ton. Would you like – he has the tools to do a lot more, and he doesn't, and you just kind of live with that. But
– I don't know if he does have the tools to do a lot more, though.
I mean, he's mobile. He's athletic. He – well, yeah, I guess he doesn't have the –
like, the three has been a nice thing to develop.
To do a lot more. Like, he blocks these shots. You're like, man, he could block four shots a game.
And he does not do that.
No. He'll have a game with seven assists, you know, and four steals. And you're like, man, he could be everywhere. But he's not necessarily.
I will say, like, his stats in 24 and a half minutes a game are not terrible. Like, 8 points, he's not a scorer. 7 rebounds, he's just an okay rebounder. But 3 assists.
4 minutes, 7 rebounds, yeah. Is all right.
Yeah, it's not bad. He's just not elite, I would say. Yeah. But 3 assists is actually really good.
For a big, yeah. And then one tells you, like, the weird way they run their offense.
Yeah, but that's like, it's just the dribble handoff team. It's a series of aimless dribble handoffs, and then there's 3 seconds left on the clock.
And I think the other thing with Nance this year is they don't have a lot of shooters.
No. Like,
his thing should be roll gravity, and they don't have shooters to a point where they would ever have to worry about not covering Larry.
So, yeah, that's a very good point. Same with Tristan, but Tristan can make up for it on the offensive glass in a way Larry can't.
Exactly. So Tristan, you know, roll gravity, but you're still going to worry about, like, you know, chasing him.
Yeah, all you have to do is – because the roll, ultimately, what that does is just give him, like, you know how sometimes teams will run the pick and roll, but really it's just to get their guy a deep seal in the post? That deep seal for Tristan is just box out position. Like, just belch up a fucking shot, and Tristan will be in a really good spot to grab it and then get an easier put back.
And, man, they all love to shoot. Cavs got dudes.
Do they love to shoot? I don't know. Does Rodney
well, they don't always love to shoot. I mean, Jordan Clarkson loves to put it up. And
I've said this to Justin recently, but I think you're going to be madder at me for it.
Okay.
I haven't really minded the Jordan Clarkson experience this year.
No, he's fine.
He's fine. He's kind of fun from time to time.
Yeah. Oh, he's so. And I've said that. I mean, when he's hitting shots, he's kind of like drugs.
Yeah.
When they're going in, he's actually fun to watch.
Yeah. And, like, I kind of just appreciate, like, his ability, like, okay, nothing's working. They don't have any space. Let's just bullshit for a bit and hope they keep it, stay in it. And sometimes he can do it.
I don't get mad about stuff. I'm not an angry guy.
Oh, you get mad about stuff. You do. That's a big part of your brand. Well, hey, I'll tell you this much more. Speaking of things that made you mad, thank God we get a chance to see Anta Zizic this year. Remember when we were worried we weren't going to know what we had in him?
That didn't mean – so I'm not, like, outright angry. I do think people, like, fret about the dumbest stuff. Like, and I know it's beating a dead horse, but, man, come on. Like, you're worried about not seeing enough Ante Zizic.
Well, how are we going to know what we have?
He's a nice guy.
You have no idea whether he's a nice guy.
He seems nice.
I talked to him before. I covered a Bulls Cavs game last year, and I talked to him. It was his first start of his career, and the poor guy was, like, clearly just learning English and was so unconfident in it. And I was like, I just wanted to, like, give him a hug. I was like, dude, you're actually doing really well. Like, so I have a bit of a soft spot for him because he was like, you know, he was like kind of like muttering under his, you know, under his breath because I don't think he wanted to, like, speak loudly. So he might not, you know, it's like the instinct to not be wrong loudly.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, you're actually doing really good.
He was like,
me, man.
I don't know. So I saw him with the Celtics actually in Vegas and he was, like, real friendly. And yeah, he, like, I don't know that he said a word. He did a lot of motioning and thumbs ups.
Yeah, I think – I mean, I don't think he was someone who was like a second – he had learned it a long time ago. And, like, because some Euros come over and it's like they're just as good at English as us. Low bar.
Incredibly low bar.
And then some are like Sergei Karasev, same like me, which is one of the all-time draft interviews that I'm mad that didn't become famous. Do you remember that?
No.
Shane Battier interviewed Sergei Karasev after he got drafted, and it was Shane Battier's first time doing TV. And if you'll notice, Shane Battier is not doing TV anymore. but he asked him something about his dad who played in the NBA for like a stretch or something like that. And Karasev just like gave the most broken English answer. And he's like, he is in the NBA, same like me. And Battier looks at him for a solid 5 seconds and just goes, well, that's great.
You know, I had a similar, it was Rakeem Christmas, and it was 2014, and Andy was hurt, and that was 2015. Yeah, it's 2015. Andy was hurt, Love was hurt, and Tristan was like the only big. Maybe they brought in, was that the year they had Chris Anderson? I don't even remember who the hell else they brought in. Maybe it was the year Tristan was holding out, and it was the Jack
Queen. That sounds right.
But basically, there was no bigs. And I remember I asked him. I was like, hey, there's no Andy. There's no Kevin. There's a pretty gaping hole here in the lineup. There's no Tristan. What do you feel like you can bring? Like, how you feeling? What is it that you can do, And there's a good chance that he had already been committed to that trade with the Pacers, because I got one of the most like non answers that I've ever received to any question ever, not even about basketball. He's just like, yeah, there's a lot of energy in the game. And,
he probably just wasn't listening to you.
If I want to bring energy, that would be good. Something to that effect. I just remember I was so confused. Like,
did you Battier? Did you just like?
I was. So, and it gets better. It's like I was so confused by what he was telling me that I didn't have a follow up. And
well, how could you?
I always have something to say, right?
Yeah.
I was just like staring
just
at him.
Stood there,
like,
mouth agape.
It was, not only was that bad, so then from my right comes Fred McLeod. And it turns out I had asked him this question on camera, which I had never done before in my entire life. I don't know if it aired. I was in Vegas. It wasn't like I was watching the Fox Sports Ohio, feed. And it wasn't like we were talking to Rakeem Christmas. He was the second round pick that year. But yeah, much to my chagrin, it's like day four. I'm hungover as all hell. I look awful. I was super fat that year. I gained so much weight. I just looked absolutely terrible. And Fred comes in to try to save this interview. I don't remember what he even asked him. I just know that he asked him like a question that got a legitimate response of more than 10 words. And I was like, oh.
Just imagine a lump of Ryan Morton.
It was the worst thing.
Sweaty, yet dehydrated.
Oh, man. It was so – it wasn't sweaty. That arena is actually really cold.
When I'm hungover, I kind of get, like, overheated.
Oh, I'm usually cold, like very cold.
Oh, I get like, clammy and awful.
Dude, it was so bad. And I don't know that I've talked to guys. I don't think I've done like an official Q&A at Summer League since. It's been like 3 years.
Well, let's be honest. That's not why you don't do it.
That and talking to Kay Felder and being like 3 inches taller than him, which you've met me. That's a rare occurrence.
Yeah. Ryan is not like a tall man.
Yeah. It's like I'm really short. I'm 5'11", 5'10", but.
I mean, you're not a tall person. You're not tall.
No, I'm the most average person on the planet, and being
in a lot of ways
considerably taller than an NBA player. It's really, wow. He's got to be 5'5" at best. I know he's listed like 5'9". There's no way.
Yeah, though I think with the really short guys, the liberties get more aggressive. Do you feel that?
Oh, absolutely.
I remember, like, this is nine listeners will resonate with this, but DJ Cooper was a point guard at Ohio U when I was there, and he was one of the best point guards in the country. I set all sorts of records, but like he was listed at 6'1", and he's not in the NBA because he's 5'8". Like, he was a cool 4 to 5 inches shorter than he was listed as. And I was just like, I bet these scouts that went to check this guy out, like, oh, one of the best mid-major point guards. Maybe we can get a second round steal. Oh, shit. Like,
the same thing about Isaiah Thomas. Like, I've been your Isaiah Thomas, and he is not 5'9". He's not 5'8".
Yeah. You can just like, I think they get away with more.
Yeah. Well, and so
of them don't go to the combine, in fairness.
The thing with Felder, oh, well, yeah, you can, because if you measure, like, even worse than expected.
Well, and I don't think a lot of them get invited. Like, those guys don't have any, like, the ones that can make a career out of themselves, you know, like, they're such outliers that they're not even on the radar for the most part.
Man, who's the one, dude? So the thing with
Allen Iverson is who you're thinking.
He's built like a cannonball. So even though I'm like way taller than him, he probably is it like he's, I don't know. He's one of the thickest people.
I've ever encountered. For the record, this is two straight Cavs pods with Kay Felder mentions, though. The last one was a little darker.
I wasn't going to touch that, but
yeah, well, they already did. They ended the podcast with it somehow.
Shame on him.
Shame on him and shame on Justin for the weird rhythm of the pod. But here we are. I did the same thing.
The year before Kay Felder, they had this dude. He's from Green Bay, Wisconsin. University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, I should say.
Wouldn't want to piss off our fine.
Kiefer Sykes.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I remember that guy.
Another guy. He's listed at like 6 feet. He got to be no more than 5'9". Another guy that I'm like, wait, I'm taller than you.
I said this a couple podcasts ago with Justin, that that's one of my favorite phenomenons when you get to go to games as media and you're close, is that guy's not as tall as I thought he'd be, or that guy's way taller than I thought he'd be.
You know who that is? The two biggest people I've ever encountered, other than Shaq, who obviously is massive. I don't know that there are larger people on the planet, and I've never been near Boban. Timofey Mozgov and Andrew Bynum are like,
dude, I could not believe how enormous Andrew Bynum was.
Like, if you've only seen an NBA game on TV, or even if you've only been, like, upper deck or even in the stands, like, there's nothing that compares to actually standing near a guy like Shaq or Bynum. They're just, like, your brain does not compute people that are that size. It's world-bending, honestly.
You know who is sneaky taller than I thought he would be in the other realm? Because I always kind of thought he was like, because he was an undersized center, was Andy. Did you ever stand near Andy? Like,
yeah,
he kind of just kept going.
Yeah, but he's not like,
no, he's not big. He's not huge. Like,
that's the thing, especially Bynum and Mozgov, because they both look so plain, right? They look like they have like marshmallow arms.
And then you're near them, and it's like they've got six bodies inside their body.
Yeah. They look like the dude from Rocky, almost, the Russian guy. I can't think of his name.
Drago?
Yeah.
Well, that's where you're wrong. Drago is all lean muscle, my friend.
Really? Who's the big one I'm thinking of?
Mr. T.
Yeah, maybe.
I just wanted to make the Mr. T joke. No, I mean, Drago is huge. Did you see, are you a Creed guy? Did you see Creed 2?
I have not, no.
Well, Drago's son is in that one, and he is outrageous looking.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
What?
Oh, man. So I thought I saved it. My dog, next to me on the couch, just sounds like he's going to vomit out of nowhere.
Oh, no.
So I yanked his head over the side, and he vomited on the floor.
Oh, jeez.
So not great.
Not great.
And then he had like a follow-up cough where he just vomited on my couch cushion in my hand and my thigh, which is less than ideal.
Would you like to go address this? It feels like you should.
Do we have any short hold music?
I will find some.
This is so disgusting.
And we'll pause the recording and we'll come back.
Oh my God. It smells really bad.
Actually, I'm gonna leave the record on. You can talk through this.
I'm gonna put my headphones down. I gotta go wash my hands and get this off my couch. It's like trapped in my nose. I'll be back in a moment.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Are we good? Are we clean?
I'm currently cleaning my couch cushion, sitting next to it doing that. So,
are we manageable though? Can we press forward for 10 more minutes?
Yes.
Or do you need to go?
The large, Jesus, man, you sound like one of my dates. The large parts. Oh, here's a whole piece of food. 1 second. Oh my God. So the vomit is gone. The smell.
Like, the smell is so hard to get rid of, dude.
Entrenched in my nostrils. Let me light some candles here. This is a great reason to have a wide variety of scented candles on hand at all times. So what do we have here? We have Italian tiramisu. That sounds nice. Cinnamon bun. Ooh, that's another good one. Oh, what is over here? Sparkling cinnamon. Big cinnamon guy.
You know more?
Apple toddy. That's a soy candle. That's delicious. And Christmas cookie. So we got it.
You know, you said something to the tune of, like, the Cavs aren't interesting to talk about. Well, you're not talking about the Cavs now.
I am not interesting at all.
Well, the thing is, that was the most interesting thing that's happened on our pod in a long time.
Getting vomited on?
Yeah. Well, the dog puking thing, it just, there's no rhyme or reason to it sometimes. That's not the same phenomenon as with the cat. Like, the dog, every now and, like, I would say 3 different times since we've gotten this dog, he's just had dinner, he's just looked at me straight in the eye and just ralphed on the carpet.
Well, and it's weird, right? Like, so I'm sitting on my couch, and he's been asleep next to me for the better part of 3 hours. And hasn't budged, just laying curled up in a ball as he does. Oh, he went off and found a corner to puke in while I was finding the spray for this. That's good. That's nice.
Oh, jeez. You know what, Mort? We're going to let you go.
Oh, we're fine.
You should handle this.
He's good. He's asleep again.
Well, that's the thing. I think that's why it's so jarring, is I think they feel sick, so they just sleep. And then they wake up Ralph and fall right back asleep.
I would be of that opinion. Because, yeah, he's just laying here minding his own business. And he wasn't even going to get up. So he's curled up on my incredibly comfortable couch blanket. And he's on my couch. And he's just making, you know, the noise. Yeah. Like, literally, as I yanked his head over the floor, he vomited. So if I had waited another 2 seconds, it would have been bad news bears. It was still bad news bears. I might amputate my hand, honestly. But crisis semi-averted.
Oh, I don't know if anything was averted. I'm having a hard time pivoting back to basketball.
I hope I didn't like curse or anything.
We curse on this podcast. You've admonished me for cursing on my own podcast.
Well, I was wholly unprepared, so I don't know what.
It was mostly just you retching and coughing for some reason.
You've never gotten it in your nose.
Oh, I have.
It's
my dog make... when he was a puppy ate a bunch of shit and then Ralphed that up. So
yeah, so it's like in.
You know, it sticks. Apparently, same thing happens with kids. Like your kid's vomit smells just as bad.
Oh, wow. And
it's just as hard to clean up.
Now, there's a thing I'm definitely going to experience at some point. The children thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think more of me would be good for everybody.
Listen, I like you.
I appreciate that you're able to force that. Sounds somewhat genuine.
Didn't have to force it. Yeah, I don't know, man. I genuinely don't have anything else to say about the Cavs right now. I actually think they're kind of fun to watch, and I'm having an okay time watching these losers try their hardest to sometimes win.
I enjoy them. I think that.
Yeah, do you like watching this team?
I don't mind it. So
do you like it more or less than you thought you were going to like it?
I'm about where I thought I would be. Maybe a little less because they have less interesting players than I thought.
Love being hurt messes up a lot of stuff.
I thought Colin and Jetty and Nwaba would be like, hey, these are some guys that are really going to carry me through the entire season and, you know, must watch basketball. It's can watch basketball, and it's something I don't mind having on while I do other things.
I don't feel FOMO when I miss a Cavs game anymore.
Yeah, which I mean that's part of tanking. I still, for the most part, have it on.
Yeah,
but I don't feel bad about missing games either.
No, not really, because that's just not the point.
Yeah,
it's funny because it wasn't the point last year either. Because they weren't, you know what I mean? Like,
it's, you know, and this is going to sound weird. I think I enjoy this season more than I enjoyed last year.
I think I might too.
On an enjoyment scale, like, obviously, there's no replacing watching LeBron.
Well, yeah.
But we've mentioned it a bunch, and it just wasn't, it like, wasn't enjoyable. It was like dating this, you know, incredibly attractive girl that
isn't that into you anymore.
Yeah.
Dude, the thing with the ex-girlfriend analogy that gets just abused with LeBron, I want to stop doing it because it's so cliche, but like there's just 97,000 ways that it's perfect. Like it always works. So I don't want to stop using that.
Well, and you know, I mean, there's just a lot of parallels to draw to it that when you get really into it, like, it doesn't need to be that deep. Like, I think if people get too deep, it's really gross.
Oh, but, yeah, it's just a joke. It needs to just be a joke.
On the face value, though, a lot of those feelings are the same. I'm like, man,
yeah,
there's this cool thing, and it's literally ruining my day. Because you have to like worry about if you're going to win, and if you don't, like, holy crap.
Yeah. Yeah. There is a degree of like, especially when they would blow really winnable games.
Yeah.
And it was like, God damn it. Can you just do it? Can you just like this is like, well, they're trying the whole time, I guess.
I'm never going to hear the end of this one. Like, that's how it feels every time they would lose a game. And then if they win,
yeah, that's very
gonna be happy about a win over the Nets. No.
Yeah. The Cavs. And I couldn't get on basketball media. Like, I couldn't listen to my podcast because then everyone else would be rehashing the embarrassing loss.
And I can't listen to your podcast either. That's crazy.
You jerk. So everyone would be rehashing the embarrassing loss, and then it was like, but now, like, nothing the Cavs do affects my day-to-day life.
No. Man, I'm trying to think of the last. So that's the other,
like,
weird
the thing. Trades are interesting. The trades really, like, are the only times that they affect, yeah, like, my routine.
I have not had an in-person discussion about the Cavs with anybody in maybe a month.
Yeah, I don't think anyone is watching except the diehards.
Yeah, before, like, all my coworkers would ask me questions, my
bosses,
yeah,
totally.
family members, you know, getting my hair cut. What do you do? Oh, I do this, and I do this other dumb thing. Like, you know, it's kind of fun. Oh, nothing.
Nothing.
What do you do? Oh, I do this. Sometimes I write about basketball. Oh, the Cavs? Yeah. Boy, they stink. Oh, yeah, but here's the thing. Yeah. Let's talk about the weather. Like, okay, let's talk about the weather then.
Yep. That's just kind of the way it is. But anyway, I think that this season has been, not fun. Fun is not the right word, but definitely tolerable and with some highs and some things worth rooting for, even if some of those things that have been fun aren't going to necessarily translate in the future. Like a win, like when they do win, it's like, okay, that's nice. That's nice that I didn't waste my time today. And like they had to try really hard to do that. So it's kind of like an achievement. You know, like, and that sounds patronizing, but I'm actually not being intentionally patronizing. Like, it is kind of, I'm a little more proud of them when they do well.
Are you worried that they're going to win too many games?
Dude, can people stop that?
You know what the worst, and if you're, I honestly mean this, and I always veer off, or at least try to, of saying things that sound mean, but I truly and sincerely mean this. If you are in the mentions complaining about the Cavs winning a game within 5 minutes of that game ending, you're the worst. You are the worst. The worst. You know, it's one thing to do it when they narrowly lose because we're looking for silver linings in a loss, right?
Yeah. Oh, well, hey, you know, at least that helps the, you know, the tank.
Yeah. The spirit of having fun with a tank is when they lose or when they embarrass themselves, you go, ha ha, it's a tank. It's something that makes the losses bearable. But when they actually win a game, I'm going to watch 82 of these putrid games, usually putrid games. And when they actually win one, it's like, man, that's kind of cool.
It's so nice. It's so pleasant.
You know, and they have beaten some teams that are kind of good on occasion.
Yeah, and it's just like my whole thing is like, even when the process isn't great that leads to the win, worry about that later.
Yeah. Like, imagine they're going to win. So they're 7-22, 7-23. Yeah. So 7 out of 30 games they've won, and immediately you're – you know,
I would say four of those games there have been complaints. Like, Tristan, oh, well, Thompson, Sexton should have played on the last possession. Like, yeah. It was a shit.
Tristan played a great game. He had that, like, 20-20 game, and they won. They beat the Wizards. And not only – it was, like, within 2 minutes. Like, man, he had a great game tonight. Cavs win. First reply, well, someone should trade him ASAP before they – you know, before they – do this too many times and ruin everything.
Man, ruin.
You are the worst. The worst. It's December. There's 4 more months of basketball. Granted, by having the worst record in the league, they would guarantee a top 4 pick, and you want that. But if you're making that part of your rooting process, we saw it with our good friend Jeff last year. If you're watching teams to lose, like, you're not going to enjoy anything. Like, if you can't even enjoy a win, what can you enjoy? Because you're going to lock yourself into needing, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about Dragan Bender and Marquise Chris. You're going to convince yourself that this tank is going to, you know, resurrect a future season, and they're going to draft one of those turds. They're going to draft an Anthony Bennett. You're just going to be even madder the next time. Stop it. Just enjoy the random win.
Like, and I get that the logic says losses are incentivized. Being a fan of a team is not logical. It's not supposed to be that.
They'll take care of it. They're good. They're good at it.
They're so good at losing this year. Enjoy the rare wins that come. I don't know, man. Maybe we're just a little bit older than a lot of the people on Twitter.
Well, I don't know, man.
Like, is it an age thing? I don't know. Like, no. I just like, because like,
there's old dudes that come piling in with it. There's,
dude, because I mean, my whole thing with it more is that I don't want to brag. I got other things I can be doing with my time. Like I dip out on my wife 3 times a week to go watch the game.
Yeah, I know.
And like it's just like to root for them to lose. It's just like then why did I do this for? Why am I writing the recap? Why am I podcasting about it? There's nothing like it's just such a bad use of my time to be a fan.
Yeah, well, and that's kind of more the core of it. Like, if you're only, and a lot of it draws back to, you know, the Jordan conversations, which, of course, became the Kobe conversations because he never had an original action of his own. Unless Jordan had rape allegations, in which case Kobe has one original action of his own.
God but, damn, Mort.
So, yeah, I mean, Kobe was just a knockoff Jordan every way. And it these conversations that you only exist in the sport universe to win a championship is something that works in movies. But, I mean, there's 30 teams. There's a million different things you can do and a million different things you can find enjoyment in. And if your only overarching goal of every season is I need to be competing for a championship or I need to be watching the worst team in the league so they can get the number one draft pick and then maybe someday compete for a championship, you're locking yourself in a miserable season.
Yeah. Also, why don't you just not watch? If the process is to lose, just wait till the team drafts really high for a few years and then watch. Like,
well, I think just, that's what a lot of,
well, yeah, you're probably right. I don't know, man. Like, just like ask a reasonably mature Grizzlies fan if they enjoyed the grit and grind era. I bet for the most part they'll tell you, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, one conference finals.
The 2006 to 2009 Cavs.
Oh, those teams. Sorry, I was thinking wrong years. Yeah, they were fun teams.
Yeah.
And they had things worth rooting for, and like, yeah, you're right. You're just right. Like, people have to change their priorities. I don't think this is a matter of like, oh well, I see their perspective. I think they're actively making their experience worse for no reason.
They're making, and that's experience is a great word. The point of professional basketball, it is a business, and it's to put a good product on the floor. You're supposed to go to an NBA game and walk out and think, man, that was worth my $90. Yeah. I had a great time.
too many fans think like GMs because that's the easiest thing to role play.
Well, and exactly.
They think like them so hard that they've somehow adopted their incentive structures.
Well, and they do it in all sports. And it's not even just about like the incentive structures of GMs. It's like living vicariously through
everyone.
The Browns and Broncos game is a great example. The Broncos played a video of that hilarious game winner they had in, like, I don't know, black and white TV airs. It was like 30 years ago. Nobody should care. And everyone's responses were like, wow, you want us even more hype? Wow, we're going to be even louder. Wow, do you really want to deal with this? Like, dude, they don't care. Nothing we're doing matters. What you want does not impact the game literally at all. Wanting the Cavs, wanting to be the GM and shadow GMing, the people that get on Twitter through the entire game and talk about lineup management and rotations.
It's just supposed to be more fun than people make it. That's like the bottom line.
Minutes should be over here. These minutes are mismanaged. They're using them wrong. Like, man.
It's just supposed to be fun.
At all.
It's supposed to be fun. And if you are rooting for losses, then you are – you cannot sell me that it's fun for you.
It can't. No, there's only one way it can ever be fun. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, and the Sixers, for the most part, are good. But do their fans seem like they're having a ton of fun? Like, all those assets that they championed for, Brian Colangelo – took a big dump on that. And all that time wasted and processing and doing this and doing that. You have Embiid. You have Jimmy Butler. You have Ben Simmons. The team seems mostly like it's above average to good. And the games, I mean, the Sixers people I follow just complain the entire game.
Yeah, so, I don't know, man. It's not even an anti-tanking thing for me. It's 100% yeah. about the mindset of the fans.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, it's
just have fun. I don't care how you get there. I don't care.
The end game can only work out positively. If you hate wins, the end game can only work out, you know, yeah. with them being a super elite team like the Warriors or, you know, I would say the Cavs when LeBron and Kevin yeah. and Kyrie were here were a super elite team. Like, that has to be the end game or you're just going to be miserable and everyone seems miserable. So what are we doing?
Yeah, I think you're right. Anyway, it feels like a good time to wrap up. We will let you get back to your vomit cleanup. That was probably an all-timer moment on the pod. I think I'm just going to title it something like Mort's dog throws up on him.
You're leaving that in there?
Oh, 100%, dude. No doubt. Thank you so much if you made it to the end, if you made it through the puke, just like Mort did. This is kind of word vomit from the both of us as we burn through the dog days of the season. Dog days, that wasn't even on purpose.
You're a son of a bitch.
Anyway, thank you so much for listening to the pod. I think Justin will be back midweek. If you want to support the pod, please like and subscribe. iTunes, Overcast, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spotify, anything your heart desires. Please leave us a review on iTunes if you can. Send us that screen grab. We'll get you an invite to our exclusive Discord chat where we have built a hell of a little Cavs community. And thank you for listening. And as always, go Cavs.